This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and man, I just wish there was something to talk about here on a Tuesday. So just, I don't even know how to put this, but it's going to be a long show, and there are huge things to discuss. The chances we will get to all of them in enough depth are, the chances are very slim. I'll put it that way. The chances are skinny, skinny, skinny. But here's what we have. There are ominous signs going on in the Middle East right now. Iran, Israel, Russia, Ukraine. I know that's not in the Middle East, but foreign things are happening that are a really big deal. We will talk about that tonight. The strike, the dock workers, they have officially gone on strike. We're going to discuss that in more depth. We're going to discuss that in a different way, so stay with me on that. We have the administration not knowing how to appear to care about the hurricane victims. We will discuss that. We're going to discuss, well, the debate. I mean, there is a VP debate about 3 hours from now. And if you'd asked me 48 hours ago what was going to be the biggest story on Tuesday, I probably would have told you the VP debate, and somehow that seems like a fourth or fifth, but we will discuss that as well. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin actually here with none of those things. No, stay with me. I'm going to go somewhere with this, but I'm going to read something to you really quickly. What a weird way to start a show on such a big day, right? But I'm going to read something to you. It's from an article on Business Insider. And here's one. Whew. Laura and Roger Griffiths bought their dream home and then life fell apart. Oh, okay. What happened there? Before they won the $2.76 million lottery jackpot in 2005, Laura and Roger Griffiths of England reportedly never argued. Then they won and bought a multi-million dollar home. They bought a barn and a Porsche. They took luxurious trips to Dubai, Monaco, New York City. Their fortune ended in 2010 when a freak fire gutted their house, which was underinsured, forced them to shell out for repairs, 7 months of temporary accommodations. Not long after, he was caught by his wife sending emails to a woman. Their 14-year marriage ended. Allow me to do another one. Bud Post lost $62 million within a nightmarish year after his own brother allegedly put out a hit on him. William Bud Post won $16.2 million Pennsylvania Lottery 1988, but he was $1 million in debt within a year. This is a quote from Post. I wish it had never happened. It was totally a nightmare. A former girlfriend successfully sued him for a third of his winnings. His brother was arrested for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill him in hopes he'd inherit a share of the winnings. After sinking money into family businesses, Post sank into debt, spent time in jail for firing a gun over the head of a bill collector. Quote, I was much happier when I was broke. Bud lived quietly on $450 a month in food stamps until his death. I could continue on this very fascinating article, but why would I be talking about lottery winners and how their life turned into a disaster when we have huge stories? There's dock workers, World War III. Why? Well, there's one thing I have definitely learned in life. It's that sometimes, oftentimes, wins, real big wins, can in the end be losses. And losses, in the end, can be wins. And that's going to kind of be a continuing theme as we go through things right now. Now, let's discuss, let's go ahead and begin on the foreign policy front, even though that's not really what we do mostly on the show. Wins can be losses. Losses can be wins. Well, I know you've probably seen, you've probably heard by now, it is towards the end of the day, that missiles, ballistic missiles, have been raining down on Israel all day long. Now, it is funny that 12 hours ago we heard this.
5 days, though, since the U.S. and Western allies publicized the discussions over this 21-day ceasefire proposal. Is there still any hope that that gets put together?
As you know, this is a president that's hopeful. And optimistic, and you hear him say that. You asked me if that is hopeful, right? So, look, we believe the way to get to a ceasefire is to have this diplomatic resolution to get us.
Yeah, how'd that work out? It was only a year ago, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said this.
What we said is we want to depressurize, de-escalate, and ultimately integrate the Middle East region. The war in Yemen is in its 19-month of truce. For now, the Iranian attacks against U.S. forces have stopped. Our presence in Iraq is stable. I emphasize for now because all of that can change. And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in 2 decades.
Oops, that didn't last. Okay, no, that's not really the story that we're talking about here. In response to missiles raining down on Israel, Israel has made, well, specifically Benjamin Netanyahu, has made some public statements that have anybody in power in Iran pooping in their little pants.
When Iran is finally free, and that moment will come a lot sooner than people think, everything will be different.
I'm sorry? What was that? You didn't hear that yet, did you? That's kind of an important little 10-second bit, don't you think? Let's listen to it again. What did he just say?
When Iran is finally free, and that moment will come a lot sooner than people think, everything will be different.
Okay. And that moment will come a lot sooner than people think. What else did Netanyahu? Because he came out today and said this in response to the missile attacks. In case you weren't pooping your pants enough in Iran, if you're in leadership, Netanyahu rolls this out.
I know you don't support the rapists and murderers of Hamas and Hezbollah, but your leaders do. You deserve more. The people of Iran should know Israel stands with you. May we together know a future of prosperity and peace.
You know what most of the invaders, conquering armies have said to the population right before they've invaded? We're on your side. We're going to liberate you. Don't worry. We're coming to help. Okay. The Ayatollah has reportedly been moved to a secure location because they're worried Israel's going to blow him up. And we have a retired 3-star general saying things like this.
Netanyahu has basically said to the world, they said to the United States, we've given you repeated opportunities to bring this thing to a conclusion, to shut this down. And the world has turned another eye. They've said, no, I think he's going for the kill. And what I mean by that, he's going to respond quite forcefully. And I think if I was Iran right now, I'd say I think where he'd probably end up going, he's going to make a real key shot. He's either going after nuclear facilities or he's going after the supreme leader. And that's going to say.
Okay, let's stop on all this because let's talk about life, wins becoming losses, loss becoming wins. If you're Hamas, and this is going to apply to a lot of different stories today, so just stay with me. But if you're Hamas, I'm going to set aside all emotion and my own biases on this, on all this stuff. But if you're Hamas, you're in Palestine, you border Israel, you hate them, okay, you hate the Jews, kill all the Jews, all that other crap. You spend a long time, months, probably more than months, coordinating and planning this massive raid into Israel. Because forever you've been doing that. Well, we'll stab a guard real quick on the border and then that guy gets shot and then that's over. Forever you've been firing rockets into the place, but you decided that wasn't enough, that you needed a win. And what'd you do? You got the funding. You got the weapons. You did the training. Believe me, that was a well-coordinated raid. When you're coming in on paragliders, and they were planned, coordinated, they had intelligence from inside. That thing took a long time to pull off. you're Hamas, you sat down, you put your heads together, and you pulled off, for their purposes, an extremely successful raid against your hated enemy. 1,000 Israelis dead. You got to torture a bunch of them and rape a bunch of them. You got to go in and do it. And the celebrations in the streets that night were enormous, because if you're in Hamas, if you're in Palestine and you hate the Jews, when have you ever had a win like that? Never. Look at us. Now, you're in ruins. Your northern neighbor, Hezbollah in Lebanon, in ruins. Your Iran, you've planned and funded all of this. Leadership dying on your soil, and your Ayatollah is currently hiding in a bunker praying to God the next guy who brings him a meal isn't an Israeli spy who planted C4 in his onion rings. A win can quickly become a loss. And this goes way deeper than Israel, Iran. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Israel, Iran, where we might be headed in a moment. And then we'll continue on with this theme for the evening. Now, let's pray, and let's do pray, that we don't have more troops dying as a result of everything going on right now. Let's pray that we have all the Gold Star families we're going to have in our lifetime. I wish we didn't have any. We have many. But let's also remember, there is an organization that cares for these people if they're left behind. When dad doesn't come back from combat, when dad doesn't come back from his job on the police force, there is an organization helping these families, and that organization is Tunnel to Towers. Tunnel to Towers asks for $11 a month, and they stand with Gold Star families. They pay off their mortgages. They build homes for catastrophically injured veterans, first responder families. When dad's ambushed in a cop car, what do we do? Tunnel to Towers is there. That's where your $11 a month goes. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. It's debate night. It's Israel potentially invading Iran night. It's dock worker strike night. It's Americans still suffering and dying from hurricane aftermath night. It's a lot going on tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're tackling all of it. We opened up talking about wins can become losses. Losses can become wins. Hamas had that huge raid, hugely successful for them. Woohoo, we killed so many Jews. Now Hamas is gone. Leadership wiped out. Facilities decimated. Hezbollah, same thing. Wiped out, leadership taken out, gone. That huge win was less than a year ago. Well, win our greatest night. The Jews have paid the price. And now, gone. And there's another part of this. I'm sure you liked that part. There's another part you might not like. Where this goes from here might see an Israeli win turn into a loss. Meaning this. Israel is so much more advanced than any of these other countries, including Iran. They're so much more advanced than even Hezbollah, who's pretty advanced. Hezbollah, Iran, Hamas. Israel has very smartly, very sharply slaughtered their enemies, taken out their leadership. Woo-hoo, good for you. Now, after that raid, they've responded. They've responded forcefully. Good for you. What happens if Iran has a nuclear weapon already? You see what I mean? I'm not trying to doomsday it. I'm trying to say we're all celebrating. If you've been rooting for Israel and the whole Israel Hamas thing, we're all celebrating it. Woohoo! Nice, beating them up. Yep, you're winning right now. That win, it's only about 8 million people in Israel. It's a very small place, size of New Jersey. that win can turn into a loss in a hurry, and we can all wake up because this thing escalates and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we can all wake up with a brand new problem on our hands. Wins can become losses. Losses can become wins. Oh, look, as long as we're doing foreign policy, because we're about to move off this, I don't want to spend all day on it. If there is some kind of huge thing that happens foreign policy-wise, we'll keep you posted as soon as we can verify things during the show. But along those exact same lines, Russia, Ukraine. Ukraine recently launched a counteroffensive into Russia, which I actually think was probably sharp. Instead of the Russians being on Ukrainian territory, Ukrainians were on Russian territory, counterattack, put them on the defense, woo-hoo-hoo, and it was celebrated across the spectrum for people who want Ukraine to win. Yeah, we got them. Yeah, take that, Putin. Woo, Putin's in trouble. Headline, Russia strikes 11 Ukrainian regions overnight with drone waves. Woo, we got them. Look at this Russian territory. Hey, suck it, Putin. You suck. Oh, what's that? They have modern drone technology that can slaughter people. They have the largest nuclear arsenal on the planet, including tactical nuclear weapons. Oh, man. Did that win turn into a loss pretty quickly? It might. This is how it works. And this is what makes it so complicated and difficult for us as we try to sift through the foreign policy, the domestic policy, what is a win, what isn't a loss. You know, we're going to make this, in fact, I'm going to transition it right now into this gigantic strike, because this is going to be a good lesson for all of us, for you, me, for everybody. Okay, there's a big strike. We talked about it last night. If you missed hour one of last night's show, it's not that all 3 hours weren't brilliant, but if you missed hour one of last night's show, that is worth your time to go download the podcast of it, iHeart or Spotify or iTunes. And no, it's not just because of my amazing brilliance. We brought on Ross Kennedy. He's a port supply chain expert who laid out everything. We kept him on for two segments. He laid out everything in detail, who's at fault, who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. If you're oversimplifying things today when it comes to this port strike, you're making a mistake. There aren't necessarily good guys, bad guys, black and white on this. Before you send me hate mail or a hate voicemail, go listen to that, understand it in a little bit more depth than you do now. It's not as simple as greedy dock workers, right? But again, wins can become losses. And we'll get into taking the temperature of the room, and that's going to kind of be a talk we're going to have in a moment. But let's say the dock workers are successful and they get this massive pay increase. They're doing, you know, a union strike. What is a union strike? You're holding someone hostage, a company, a nation, whatever. Okay, so right now it's really kind of all of us. They're holding us hostage. Let's say they win. Woo! That's awesome for if you're in there. Woo! What a win. How quickly do the shipping companies, do the ports begin to ensure that this kind of thing can never happen again? How quickly do they turn to automation? That big win. Look at the fat pay increase, fellas. Woo, we're getting paid. In 5 years, you're out of a job. Congratulations. I hope you saved up all the extra money. Wins can become losses. Now let's talk about taking the temperature of the room. Before we do that, let's talk about chalk. Let's talk about natural herbal supplements. Because of the strike and because of everything, I'll tell you right now, my wife spent the day shopping, stocking up on supplies. She did. In fact, she went with some girlfriends. We put a list together and they took off and they stocked up on supplies. When I hear the stories out of North Carolina, Tennessee, now the dock thing, I need more supplies. I stuck up on chalk too. My male vitality stack that I take every day from chalk isn't some ridiculous side item. What it's done for my mind and my energy level, it's essential for me. And it's natural. It's good for me. Chalk has an endless supply of natural herbal supplements. Get some in your body and get a subscription so you save money. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Go. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, and it is debate night. I'm still excited for the debate. Kind of. I'll explain what I mean by that in a little while. And remember, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's discuss the strike in a different kind of a way. Let's discuss taking the temperature of the room. This is a conversation I have with my sons often. In fact, you and I have had this conversation before. Because I'm an extremely rude, abrasive person, have screwed this up more times in my life than I can count. And I've seen how it's burned me more times than I can count. I've told my wife before, she had a long day. I had a long day. It was Friday night. This is years ago. We were getting ready to go out for a date that night. And she had this dress that I hated. And I'd never told her I hated it. I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. It wasn't my taste. I didn't care for it. But I hated this dress. And she had had a long day. The kids were acting up that day. And I think a toilet broke in the house. She was so frazzled by the time I got home. But I had had a long day too. I'm making an excuse for myself, but I'd had a long day too. She came out. She said, okay, let's go on a date. And the words just came out. I looked and said, oh, that dress? The date didn't happen. Date night ruined. Hurt her feelings. I felt about an inch high. Completely hurt her feelings. I should note that I could easily, my wife's not a sensitive person, at virtually any other time I could have told her, hey, I really don't care for this dress. And she'd probably just throw it away and get something else. She'd say, okay, whatever, that'd be fine. But instead, I chose the exact wrong moment and I just gutted her and felt like a friggin' idiot for it. Right? Taking the temperature of the room. I tell my sons this. I try my best to teach my sons this. The temperature of the room. Speaking of my wife, her grandpa died a while back. It was a couple years ago, I think. Her grandpa died. My boys had never been to a funeral before. Okay. Well, my boys are boys. They like to have fun and laugh and make jokes. And I mean, they're my boys. We have a good time. And my boy, they're not rude at all. They're very polite young men. But we had a talk before the funeral. No, Chris, they didn't screw it up. We had a talk before the funeral about this. Hey, we're about to walk into a funeral. People are going to be crying. Dad's gone. Mom's sad. Is this the time to make jokes? And is this the time to fart as loud as you can? Is this the time to do those things? We had a long taking the temperature of the room. So let's discuss the strike going on right now. You see, I haven't taken a side and I'm not going to take a side. I need these people to come together and come to an agreement because I'm very concerned about the American people. Beyond that, I don't care. I don't care about the union. I don't care about the ports. Come together, get the goods flowing. That's what I care about. So I'm really genuinely not taking a side. I don't care. It means nothing to me. I only care about the people. That's all I care about. The head of the Longshoremen Union, his name is Daggett. Clearly an old school union type. Big old gold chain. You can hear it in his voice. I'm going to play him for you in a second. But he's making the same mistake I've seen sports union guys make a million times in my life. And this is how it plays out every single time I've seen a professional sports strike. And I used to watch professional sports all the time, so I know all of them. Baseball, basketball, every single time. The players' union will strike. The owners don't want to give this. The players want this. Okay, fine. They're striking, whatever, just like it's happening now. The players have demands. The owners don't want to give it. They'll come to an agreement. The players end up making themselves the enemy of the public. How could that happen? I don't wear the owner of the Chicago Bulls jersey. He doesn't have a jersey. I own a Michael Jordan jersey. By the way, I don't own a Michael Jordan jersey, but I don't own the owner's jersey. I own a Michael Jordan jersey. So how could I, Joe Blow fan, ever turn on the players and blame them? Well, because the owners were always smart enough and had enough consultants around them, they knew, hey, I'm a billionaire negotiating with millionaires. You know what the public doesn't want to hear? They don't want to hear me complain about having to pay people more money. So the owners, they hardly ever spoke in public. If they did, it was just these benign statements. The owners would shut up, not speak publicly. The hardcore negotiations happened when the doors were closed and the cameras were off. And every single time, some moron from the players' union who makes $20 million a year would run to the camera. And I wasn't even against the players or against the owners. I didn't care. Just play sports again. And every single time, some running back would run to the camera and say, they think they can cheat us. I made $20 million last year, and I should have made $25. Buddy, you just turned every sports fan against you because you couldn't control your freaking mouth. Right now, the docks are shut down. A reminder to you. One day equals 7 days. Hear me? One day of shutdown, which we're already on, equals 7 days of economic dislocation. For every day it's shut down, that's another 7 days it's going to disrupt things. This thing could easily go on a week, 2 weeks, a month. We just had horrible hurricanes and flooding. One of the main things that's going to go up is lumber, supplies. What am I saying? The American people are already suffering from high prices before the dock got shut down. Now we're going to have hurricane slash flood victims trying the best they can to rebuild their lives, and prices are going to skyrocket even more. And knowing all that, the American people are already suffering and this and that. Have you heard a single thing on camera from a ship owner or a guy who runs the ports? No, you haven't. But what do you have? Johnny Goomba running to the freaking camera talking like this.
Are you worried that this strike is going to hurt the everyday American, the farmers that need to reach the export market? They're telling me that they're going
to
hurt through all
of this. Now you start to realize who the longshoremen are, right?
Nobody cares.
People never gave a about us until now, when they finally realized that the chain is being broke now. Cars won't come in. Food won't come in. Clothing won't come in. You know how many people depend on our jobs? Half the world. And it's time for them and time for Washington to put so much pressure on them to take care of us, because we took care of them and we're here 135 years and brought them where they are today, and they don't want to share.
Yeah. Got your guys super fired up behind you. Yeah, get them! The American public wants to sock you in the face right now. He rolled this one out here.
I'm not asking for the world. They know what I want. They know what I want. And if they don't, well, then I have to go into the street and we have to fight for what we rightfully deserve. These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port, a lockdown. You know what's gonna happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me, I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you, and you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
Taking the temperature of the room. What a critical, life-saving skill it can be. Let's talk about that next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday debate night, which I swear I will get to. Remember, you can leave us a voicemail if you feel the need to do so. 877-377-4373. Back to what we were discussing. Our continuing theme tonight. Taking the temperature of the room. I understand unions. I understand going on strike. I understand the business doesn't want to pay as much. They don't want to give out as many benefits because it affects the bottom line. I get that. Totally get very valid. Honestly, I understand the American worker who wants better benefits, who wants better pay. I understand the plight of the Longshoremen Union. You heard Ross Kennedy come on here last night and say they make $35,000 less than their buddies who do what they do on the West Coast. I understand it. I totally get it. Taking the temperature of the room. The American people, they already can't afford groceries. And you say this?
In today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you, and you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
People in North Carolina watch their home, their school, their local business they owned, and their favorite restaurant float away 48 hours ago. And we get this?
In today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you.
Americans have lost over a million jobs in the last year, out of work, suffering, trying to figure out how to make ends meet. You go on camera with this?
In today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you.
Taking the temperature of the room is so critical. Again, I'm not even against him. Or against the Longshoremen Union. I'm not. I don't give a crap about. He's a union boss, so he's probably a corrupt piece of trash. I'm not worried about him. But the union guys, I'm not even against them. I'm not against the ports. I'm not against them. But this is the danger when you don't understand taking the temperature of the room. And back to our thing about wins can become losses. Losses can become wins. Even if this union, even if they're totally, if they get everything they want, we get the deal, they've agreed, hey, no automation, hey, 77% pay increase, everything, just give them everything they want. Even if you get this huge win and your guys got cash coming in, woo! You want to talk about the ultimate short-term win? They will bend over backwards. You are going up against billionaire after billionaire after government entity after government entity. They will spend every waking moment from the second they ink that deal to ensure you never have the power to do that to them ever, ever again. Wins can become losses, and taking the temperature of the room is everything in life. It is so critical to try to judge your environment. How are people feeling? What are people going to hear when I say this? And what do you want me to do? I have emails today. Here's what's crazy. You have these ports, right? You have these ports. You have these shipping companies. You have these mega, mega corporations involved. And who loves mega, mega corporations? Nobody. Even if you're okay with them, nobody has ever said to themselves, oh, honey, pour me a glass of wine. I had the worst day. Oh, why, honey? What happened? I just read that Nike had a bad quarter. I'm so sad. No one's ever said that. No one cares about major corporations. No one cares about their bottom line. They just don't care. It's not in our nature to care. I get 1,000 emails a day to this show. I have a stack of them. Are you watching on the simulcast? Look at this stack of emails. I have a stack of them. I have email after email after email that reads like this. Hey, Jesse, you seem to be an all right guy, even though you're a jarhead. Ha ha. Seriously, don't you think the Port Union guys might want to return to work temporarily to help move those goods that may be very needed during Hurricane Helene or Helen? I mean, they should know. Blah, 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 blah. I don't have a single email in my inbox taking sides against the corporations. I have endless ones against the union guys. And it's not because of their demands. It's because this guy can't shut his fat freaking mouth for 5 freaking seconds.
Are you worried that this strike is going to hurt the everyday American, the farmers that need to reach the export market? They're telling me that they're going
to
hurt
through
all
of this. Now you start to realize who the longshoremen are, right?
Nobody cares.
People never gave a shit about us until now, when they finally realized that the chain is being broke now. Cars won't come in. Food won't come in. Clothing won't come in. You know how many people depend on our jobs? Half the world. And it's time for them and time for Washington to put so much pressure on them to take care of us, because we took care of them and we're here 135 years and brought them where they are today, and they don't want to share.
You can have that conversation. It's his job to have that conversation, actually, with the corporations. It's his job to be that guy behind closed doors to the American public. Apparently, to every single person who listens to my show or watches the news, you sound like a gangster. You sound like an extortionist. You don't sound like the good guy. You didn't win over a single soul. In fact, after last night's show, I really sensed a real sentiment towards them, kind of half and half. Today, it all changed. You couldn't take the temperature of the room. You still thought it was 1975, and you had the Gambino family standing behind you as you negotiated against the New York City mayor. But it ain't 1975, and the Gambino family doesn't pull that kind of weight nationally with people because they don't even know who they are anymore. You're now in the social media era where the lady who just got home from the grocery store and sacrificed her hamburger purchase because she couldn't afford it, got in the door, pulled out Twitter on her phone, and heard you say this.
In today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you.
Take the temperature of the room. All right. Let's do some debate talk. But first, let's talk about your dog. Let's talk about ensuring your dog lives longer. Don't you want your dog to live longer, have a long life? I do. I love my dog. And as useless as he may be, they really are. They're part of the family now. I can't believe I'm about to admit this. Fred was in our family pictures. We take family pictures, I think it was once every 4 or 5 years or so. Fred was in them. He's just part of the family. We want him around to be, you know, in the next family pictures. That's why we give Fred rough greens every single meal. It's not food. Your dog has food. Let your dog keep his dog food. That's fine. But start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. All the vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils, free jumpstart trial bags available at 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. Let's do a little debate talk next.
This is an iHeart podcast.